Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for and by our community, the bisexual community. We will be discussing in future episodes concerns unique to our experience. Some of the topics are: what is bisexuality, labels, the bisexual umbrella, stereotypes, bigotry, erasure, the news, social media, entertainment, coming out, relationships of all kinds, and our own personal experiences. I'm Lynette.
I'm Becca.
I'm John.
I'm Will.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Simone.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for putting this together, Lynette.
Thank you very much. So, where is everybody from today? I'm from Portland, Oregon.
I'm in
Washington, D.C.
I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Grayson, Kentucky.
South Australia.
Awesome. So, let's start at the beginning and try to define what bisexuality is. Not a simple task. Sherry Eisner, in her book, Bi Notes for a Bisexual Revolution, writes it like this. And she's referring to a quote from Robin Ochs. My favorite definition for bisexuality so far is this one popularized by the wonderful bisexual activist Robin Ochs. Ochs says, I call myself bisexual because I acknowledge that I have in myself the potential to be attracted romantically and or sexually to people of more than one sex and or gender, not necessarily at the same time, not necessarily in the same degree, and not necessarily the same way. This is by far the broadest and most enabling definition of bisexuality that I have found to date. Its strength is in the way it enables anyone who wants to identify as bisexual to do so. In other words, it reassures people. In a world where bisexuality is usually very, very narrowly defined, many people who experience bisexual desire and want to identify as bi often feel afraid to start or keep identifying as such, as they feel they don't qualify. The role that an enabling definition for bisexuality can fulfill to counter these feelings of internalized biphobia is invaluable. I feel the Ochs definition does just that. It reassures people they are allowed to identify as bisexual if they wish to do so. That's kind of simple and not so simple. And then that's kind of what being bisexual is, simple and not so simple. It's very hard to define. Sherry expands on it in her book about the different aspects of bisexuality and the role of the bisexual umbrella as a community. All of us, no matter how you identify, bi, pan, omni, poly, mono, all of those included that. Fluid, flexible, curious, queer, come together under that and help support and give voice to our community. Or as Sherry says, you can stand under my umbrella. We won't be excluding any other identities either. The transgender, intersexual, and asexual, and all those who are marginalized in both the straight and gay community. What does it mean to you?
I'll go first, shall I? To me, it's quite simple. It means I love people who are like me, which is female, woman, and people who are different to me, which is anything from gender fluid through to heterosexual male. And it's the entire spectrum, regardless. As long as they like me, I like them. I always like to say that, for me, I don't get attracted to what's between someone's legs. I get attracted to what's going on between their ears.
Nice.
That's how I put it.
That really sums it up for me, too, is that, you know, I fall in love with a person, and whatever else is, you know, there is, like, you know, icing on the cake. That's kind of crude, isn't it?
Is it? I think it makes perfect sense.
Just saying, too.
As long as the feelings the same sweet, kind, decent person underneath. You don't really care what they look like or how they are physically.
So, you know, many people feel that there's a thing going on now between bisexual and pansexual labeling. With pansexual labeling is, and I don't want to get this wrong because that would be wrong. pansexual identify as liking not just the same and different gender, but transsexual, intersexual, and that, I believe that is the definition of pansexuality. So, you know, in essence, I suppose I am that too, but I identify as bisexual because...
Yeah, you've got it pretty much right. I personally identify as pansexual, and the reason I started doing that was because so many people have the impression that bisexual means either men or women, and I've certainly been attracted to trans individuals, intersex individuals, and all the, and, you know, all spectrum of the people. So I really like the term pansexual because it seems to, you know, immediately express the openness of being in a relationship with any human being.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, I mean, but for years, you know, bisexuals never identified as either or in all cases. You know, we've always had people of varying genders within our community, and bisexuals are attracted to people of varying genders, not just men or men and women. You know, I think we should have peace between bisexuals and pansexuals, but when we get accused of, you know, being cisphobic, then that's when it becomes problematic for us.
I think you mean being accused of being transphobic or maybe cissexist, John?
Cissexist, I'm sorry, yes.
I don't know what any of these words mean.
Well,
I mean, I'm just talking cisphobic part. I know all the allies.
Michael and Simone are joining in as allies, so they might be asking you some guys some questions about what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Just the cisphobic part, largely because it's a big word.
Right. Transphobia is like homophobia against trans people who are transgender, who fall under the trans umbrella.
Well, yeah, I got that one, but what about, is the cisphobia one the same thing?
Cissexism is basically, it's the opposite of a phobia. It's almost the presumption that that your gender and your sex are going to align. And it's the presumption that that is the norm. And that that is the only proper way to be. And you can probably hear the quotation marks as I say proper.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's just transphobia, but twisted.
Right. Well, I know some transphobes. Okay. I got that word.
But, you know, I don't think a lot of times we get accused of transphobia, but just that we're not, you know, that bisexual means that we are only attracted to born men and born women. And that's not the case for many of us.
I've been accused of being transphobic, and my main thing is no other sexuality gets accused of that. Heterosexuals don't get accused of it. Homosexuals don't get accused of it. And yet, because we are bisexual and therefore inherently outside of the binary, it's presumed then that if we do not feel an attraction towards trans individuals, that that somehow is wrong. And yet, a straight man or a straight woman can put their hands up and say, you know, I don't get attracted to trans people, and no one bats an eyelid. And I think that that's something that annoys me quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
also, you know, I think people have to understand that a lot of transgender people are also bisexual. So they are part of our community.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I stick with bisexual. Again, you know, like I said, I probably, if you wanted to get technical, if there's any technical term for anybody, what would be pansexual? Because I am very much attracted to transgender people. But I stick with bisexual because it has such a stigma. And I want to change that. Because it's not just the word bisexual that people don't like. It's probably the word sexual to begin with. But it's that whole spectrum of being able to have sex with more than a hetero person or more than a homosexual, you know, same or people are very black and white. They can't deal with anything different than that for some reason. And so I stick with
bisexual. Sure, it's going to be one or the other, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I stick with that because that stigma is what I want to change. Because until you change that stigma of the word bisexuality, the stigma of pansexuality is going to still be there, following behind it, and all of the others, you know, I think that's why I do it.
I think what we, really, for me, I sort of think of the non-binary sexuality when I think of bisexuality, and I see that as a spectrum or under the bi umbrella. as we've already heard. And I sort of think, you know, that's anything from bi-curious and heteroflexible straight through to bisexual, pansexual, omnisexual.
I think I heard another few words I've never heard before. What the heck is heteroflexible, by the way?
Heteroflexible is,
flexible, okay. Maybe I'm just hearing things because I could have swore I heard fuck.
It's my accent. I'm terrible. I'm sorry. I'm from the north of England and I forget sometimes that people just can't understand me.
We have somebody from Kentucky on here, from Portland, and all over the country and Australia. Well, and you're doing fine.
The accents are being showcased tonight.
Yeah, we're international.
May I suggest we break into 5 minutes of We Are the World? No,
all right. No, sorry, don't tempt me. You start asking people to sing, and I will jump all over it.
Oh, no, I want to watch the Buffy musical with you. And I don't care if you've never seen Buffy. We're watching the musical episode.
Do a musical episode, and we'll make it all, like, we'll make it fabulous. We'll do lots of musical songs and things.
Yeah. I am all over that.
You can pull out your guitar, Michael. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can do your Cartman impersonation. And
this needs to be a thing.
Well, yeah.
So what is transflexible again? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We had heteroflexible, which is
true.
Generally heterosexual, but if the right person came along, how many people have heard that one before?
That sounds a little bit dodgy, in a way.
If that's how someone wants to identify, that's up to them. I'm not policing anyone's identity, I just think it's a bit of a cop-out myself.
Right, yeah. But you know, it's not me to judge how they want to.
Then you've got people who are bi-curious. You know, they're always the sort of looking and they're going, you know, maybe if the wind was in the right direction. You know, if I had an opportunity, I probably wouldn't say no as an academic experience. Then we have bisexual, which is, we're all here, so I presume we all know what that means. And then we have pansexual, which we've already discussed. Then omnisexual, which I always just thought it was a synonym of pansexual, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I'm aware, it's...
I haven't been able to discern any hard differences between pansexual and omnisexual. And it's kind of difficult because the terms aren't really very strictly defined. There's a lot of people that will disagree about what it means to them when they self-identify that way. Like, I've heard a number of people who say that, like, pansexual means to them that it's entirely about an emotional or mental attraction with no physical component, but that's personally not how I define it. I just see it as being open to potentially being in a relationship with any person, but there's obviously still a physical attraction element to me.
Yeah, I mean, I always found in any relationship I got into that it was emotional attraction first for me. So I don't really see why there's a differentiation between those two things. If you're willing to go out and fuck someone in a nightclub who's a different gender and you're willing, that's really, you know, you're still doing the same thing as you would in a stable relationship. It's just you're not doing it within that structure. So to say those two things are different sexually is not really, that doesn't make much sense to me. But again, I'm as confused as anyone else is. We're all just muddling along as far as I can tell.
Right. And that's, you know, that's one of the things I hope we can explore is trying to make clarify some of these things in the future.
You know, I mean, people need to be free to label themselves how they want to label themselves. And I think, you know, especially within our umbrella, to accept people's labels. And, you know, one of the things that has been coming up in our community recently are people that are publicly attracted to men and women and are either refusing to be labeled or saying that their sexuality is fluid. And I even, I think as an activist, I'd like to see everyone who is bisexual identify as bisexual and be out there and helping us. But, you know, I have to say that they have that right to identify or not identify how they want to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I certainly don't try to impose my definitions upon anybody else. That's why whenever I explain what my identity means, I always, either preface it or end it with "to me." That this is how I understand it, and your definitions may be different, and that's okay.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think as well, when you're talking to people and they tell you how they identify, if you're in a safe space, and they say, "I'm bisexual," I'm one of those people, I don't think it would be a bad thing at that point to then say, "Please tell me what your definition of that term is."
I think that's a good point, because I get very confused when somebody says to me, because I'm very new to the language, "Well, I'm genderqueer," and, that's when I need to say, "What does that mean?" Because I don't know, and I want to know. I want to know where they're coming from. You know, as human being, you want to be able to relate to them. I think that's a good thing to do then, right?
I think any question asked with respect should be met with a proper answer. And that's my attitude towards everything in life. If you ask with respect, no one can tell you that you've done anything wrong.
I absolutely agree with that, and I also understand the need, I guess some people's need for labels, but I also understand the need to define all these labels is actually what causes a lot of aggression and animosity, and not even just in sexuality, as far as religion or as far as social status. The need to not just label yourself, but the need to label someone else. And I think that's where we get a lot of aggression from, I'm just very anti-label in a lot of things. You like what you like, you don't like what you don't like, and forgive me if I'm offending anybody for this at all, but just labels to me are an enemy to me. I'm sorry, but yeah, I guess that's all I had to say about that.
No. I understand it fully, because I'm not real crazy about it myself. But the thing is, when you're trying to build a community, as several people have mentioned, you need something to bring you together.
To rally.
And a label does that.
To rally behind.
To rally behind, yeah. But as an individual basis, if somebody says to me, "I'm transgendered," I want to know what they're talking about, because I'm speaking to them. I'm relating to them.
Sure.
And
I definitely get that. But as far as labels go, you're Lynette, you're John, you're Simone, and that's the label I go by,
I think all of us feel this way, that we wouldn't actually sit around declaring to people that we're bisexual, pansexual, whatever, except normally, because, who does that? Who discusses their private life like that? But I think all of us do it for, one compelling reason.
Sure.
It's because we need to get voice. And
absolutely. And I agree with that. I do.
And I think as well, labels can tell you how to can be a good way of sort of indicating who's, when you tell someone, that you're bisexual, it comes with certain assumptions. And also, when someone tells you they're bisexual, you make certain assumptions. You probably shouldn't, because we've already discussed how varied people's definitions are. But I do make certain assumptions. If someone says to me bisexual, I probably think, okay, this is someone who's open-minded. This is someone who, has some understanding of different sexualities.
Sure.
And this is someone who I could potentially speak to. But I think that when someone says any sexuality label, so the fact that they're willing to openly say what their sexuality is probably says more about them than what their actual sexuality is.
Exactly. You know, it would be great when we get to the point when people just view each other as human beings who are a testament that is part of them.
Absolutely. And I guess that's the point I was trying to make. And I may not have worded it right, but, you know, we're human beings, we're diverse, and, you know, pretty much get over it. We know we're diverse. You know, and I'm talking about, you know, like haters, you know, not necessarily, you know, but like we're human beings, we're diverse. We're going to like different things. We're going to worship different things. We're going to eat different things. We're going to drink different things. I guess I just don't understand why, I don't understand why that's still an issue. I don't, you know what I mean?
Well, none of us really do.
To those of us that have been on the receiving end of it being an issue, we don't understand why it is an issue.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that there's a... Because I think to a lot of people who aren't involved with friends or who have friends who are bisexual or are in relationships with bisexuals, there is a sort of mystique that there's this sort of... They don't understand. It's like trying to tell a bisexual no, trying to explain being heterosexual or homosexual. You sort of look at it and go, but that doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Well,
that's what I do. Why would you limit yourself like that? What are you thinking? That's what goes through my head.
I heard somewhere latent. It means I came out pretty late in my life. And in fact, just this last year, that's why a lot of this is new to me. And when people started talking about cis, first of all, I didn't know what it was. And then when they finally got a grasp on it, and this is, I've only been out for a year, I'm going like, well, that doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that word you said? You said people start talking about what?
Cis.
That's that word I was confused about earlier.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm confused about that word, I guess. I'm sorry.
What do you guys want to field that one? Because I'm not sure I got that definition.
Well, it's
perfect.
Kind of a just shorthand for being cisgendered, which means that your gender identity matches your physical manifestation. Like, if you identify as male and you were born a male, you would be cisgendered.
Okay, gotcha. My bad.
Yeah.
It's a good definition.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that. And the whole concept of limiting yourself now, just it seems very odd to me, very much so.
Sure.
And it's only been a year since my whole way of thinking has changed about everything, really. I mean, it because that's what it does when you come to terms with your bisexuality, when you wake up. Your whole viewpoint of everything seems to change. It really does. For me, anyway.
So can I ask you, Lynette, since you woke up in the last year or what, has that been liberating or hindering for you?
Liberating and maddening.
Nice.
Very liberating. I feel I've never felt so free and content in my life, and I'm so pissed off.
Have you had any aggression from loved ones, family members, friends?
I had one friend who, you know, said something a little odd, and I haven't talked to her for quite a while. But everybody else was like, you know, the response was like, yeah, we know, and you know, so what else is new? And you know, congratulations. You know, I'm very good, very good, very supportive family and friends. You know, they're quite right there with me. You know, I'm in a very safe place.
Good.
Yeah, you're always the last one to know, right?
Well, yeah, no, my daughter says, yeah, I know.
Oh, people tell me I'm gay all the time. I don't even like argue with them. You know, I'm like,
well, why?
Oh,
yeah, what's the point?
You know, whatever.
If people said that to me, I would be sort of tempted to go, well, you're half right.
That's a good answer.
Well, I think that brings up the one drop rule for men. Like, and you know, this study came out in England over the last fall, really focusing on women and bisexuality and bi-curious women. And a lot of the straight media and some of the gay media talked about why aren't men out, right, as bisexual. And,
how long have you gone?
You know, There is this idea that, you know, there is this idea that, you know, and it really percolates in the gay community that any man who's ever slept with a man once is gay and 100% gay and can't be bisexual.
Huh.
And I think it kind of percolates a little bit in the straight community too. And I, you know, probably comes from various.
But any woman who has slept with a man is 100% straight. And I think the common denominator there is sleeping with a man. It's very much a case of, you know, everyone's got to be attracted to men. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, there's...
Or patriarchy.
Patriarchy, yeah. We love that.
I got a lot of you haven't been with the right man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Well, you're not bi. Yeah, you just haven't been with the right man. Seriously? I mean, really?
I mean, yeah, I love, that's a big misconception. Like, oh, you hooked up with a man. Oh, I guess you're not bisexual anymore. Hello? You know, it doesn't work that way.
Still looking at the tennis players on the TV.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and on the serious side, it is a reason why bisexual women are raped.
It is, yeah.
You know, and lesbian women are raped. But mainly, you know, like, the statistics show that bisexual women are more likely to be raped than lesbian women. So, I mean, that's where it comes out. That's where patriarchy raises its head and tries to exert its authority and power.
I agree with that. And I think the last study done that I read and all is that it's up to almost 50% of bisexual women say they have had been raped or had violence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that much less for bisexual men. And it may be less only because men are not as likely to report things like that or talk about it.
And that's certainly true. It took me a long time to finally come out as a male victim of sexual abuse. Like, it was about 10 years before I finally opened up and decided to talk about my experiences publicly. And it's definitely because of the cultural stigma, especially when in my case it was a woman that was abusing me. There's this whole, you know, idea that, you know, oh, well, you should have enjoyed it and you were just lucky and things like that make it really difficult for a man to come out and express those situations.
Sure.
There's a big misconception that, well, you know, you're a guy, you can't get raped. I mean, hello?
Yeah, sure. You're a guy, you can't get raped unless you're in prison, right? You know?
Yeah, I mean, or why didn't you fight back? I bet you've had that one before as well. And I don't think people who haven't been through it understand the fear, just the absolute paralyzing fear of it.
And all the emotions that
you won't have a split second to respond if it's something like a rape, but when you're being abused as well and it goes on and on and on, it gets to the point where the only thing you can do is to keep taking it because you don't know any different.
Well, you go to survival mode. You go, you know, 1 minute at a time is what you do. Crisis. Yeah.
I for one, am surprised here in the last few years how much rape and sexual abuse are rampant. I was lucky enough to grow up in a household. I was not sexually abused. I've not been a victim of sexual violence, but the people I talk to, I'm amazed that of different varieties of sexual violence, and it completely blows me away. I don't get that either, I guess.
Well, you know, for me, I think it goes to that whole thing, you know, old time, don't ask, don't tell, you know, don't bring it up, let's put it under the carpet. Normalizing that behavior, not calling people on it, not calling them on the way they talk or, you know, they think, or not making it not okay, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, I do make it a real sort of a habit to call people out on that. I didn't have it at home or anything like that, but every time I go out, I'm a university student, and every time I go out without fail, there's always one or two who try it on. And more often than not, probably shouldn't say this on something that's going to be published, but, you know, whatever. You know, I will fight back. And when people start getting physically violent, I don't hesitate to fight back. Because at the end of the day, it's me or them. And I actually quite value my body, and I think, you know, anyone who does is going to, your survival instincts kicking.
Right, and I think if you go, you know, in that kind of rape situation where you are being attacked by a total stranger, I would imagine if it was me, I would fight back. However, in my own personal case, it was someone I knew. I was a young person who, this person should have known better. He was an adult. I was a child. At that point, how do I fight back? You know, threat of losing my parents, you know, my family, you know, guilt, all those things played into what happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything about it, you know, for years.
Yeah, in my situation, my abuser used, like, psychological intimidation to keep me quiet. Like, she told me that, you know, this all happened when I was around 11 years old, and she told me that if I told anybody or stopped seeing her and letting her do these things, that she was going to kill herself and I would be responsible for her death. And that's what kept me stuck in that situation for several months, where I had to deal with that.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing for me, for what happened with me. About the same age, too.
I know someone who's had something very similar to that. They were older, actually, and it was a relationship they had on the internet. They were long distance, and this person was genuinely afraid of this other person. This other person was saying very disconcerting things, forcing them into conversations they didn't want to get involved in, and then threatening to jump off buildings, to do other things. That made my friend genuinely terrified of saying enough's enough, because if they did, then this other person, that's a life on their conscience, and they didn't want that. And I don't think anyone wants that. But there's a line that needs to be drawn, and I think we need to do that as a society, not just as individuals.
I that's where I agree with you, because it we should be taught at some point, if someone is threatening you or cajoling you, if you know it's wrong, they're not going to jump off that building. If they say they're going to jump off that building, if you don't do what they say, let them jump off that building. That's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
Definitely a straight and gay issue that the entire populace needs to start thinking deeply on, because it's really disgusting and not cool at all.
Well, you know, the whole thing about the rape mentality is it's about power to begin with, and
that's all it is.
Bisexuals already have a problem with people thinking they don't have any boundaries, that they're up for anything,
right,
that they can treat a bisexual pretty much any way they want, you know, and they'll be going, hey, let's go, you know. They get targeted quite a bit because of that, you know, and it's frightening. You have to be safe. You have to know who you're talking to. You have to know who you're
talking to. Yeah, I got a fair share of that as a teenager on MSN.
Although I think I'm just going to put it out there. I'm bisexual. I'm not a whore. I'm not up for anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't have any problem with what people do or anything like that. But for someone else to assume that I'm an easy target and they can treat me that way because I'm bisexual, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, bisexuals are statistically more commonly in domestic abuse than any other sexuality. We're more commonly raped, we're more commonly sexually abused. We have some of the worst mental health statistics by any stretch of the imagination compared to any other group.
Mm-hmm.
You come out as bisexual, and it's not like coming out as gay has become where it's okay, yeah, let's throw a party and wave a rainbow flag. It's not like that. You're genuinely stating, this is what I am. This is scary, but I have to do it.
You come out as bisexual, and now, especially if you were, like, identified as gay or lesbian, and now, besides the heterosexuals not treating you well, the gay community doesn't like you. So where do you go? You're there all by yourself. And you get thrown that, the one that really always slays me is, oh, if you're really gay, you're just hiding behind that bisexual veil until you can have the courage to come out. Who in their right minds
is going to stand there and say, I'm bisexual, why don't all of you hate me now? You know? Absolutely. That's no deal. Yeah.
The only Absolutely. Way I could imagine coming out as bisexual instead of gay if I was a lesbian would be if I was in a country where it was illegal to be monosexually gay, as in never going to look at a man, because at least if I said I was bisexual, it would keep the law off my back because there's always the chance I could be with a man.
And that's a legitimate reason.
And that's a legitimate reason, but I think that's one of the very few legitimate reasons.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So these are all the things we get to deal with all the time. Yeah. That one really irritates me. That one just really...
That one needs to be sort of plastered on the head of anyone who says it and just labeled as stupid.
No, it's just like, you know, who in the right minds would stand around and talk about their sexuality anyway with anyone, and then to have the courage to come out and say that you're bisexual, and they have somebody slam you like that. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, I've had people turn on me. I was in high school when I first came out. I went to an all-girls Catholic high school. And I had one girl who genuinely wouldn't take stationery from me because she thought I was contagious.
Oh, my God, that happened to me in a store. I got the change from the cashier, and as I was walking away, the guy behind me goes, well, make sure you wash your hands. And I was like, whatever.
Well, you're making out with a girl at the checkout line.
It must be. Lynette,
you know you're not supposed to do that.
I was thinking, you probably had your hand down your pants 5 minutes ago, scratching your balls while you.
Yeah.
I was like, how did she see me?
Okay. So I guess we'll just go over a few things and get this wrapped up. Anybody else want to talk about anything else? These are all going to be things we're all going to try to cover in future episodes.
This is just sort of a snapshot of the insanity that's going to ensue, I think.
Well, one thing that's sort of fresh in my mind, because I just had it happen to me again last night, is the assumption, if you're bisexual, that you're also polyamorous. You must want to have a guy and a girl at the same time, and that's the only way you're going to be happy.
And you can't possibly just be looking for someone who you are 100% compatible with, regardless of their gender.
Yeah.
That assumption that you go that way. Every bisexual, it's really irritating.
That's reason. Yeah, and that is another one that bothers me as well.
And I personally do identify as polyamorous, but it wasn't anything that I had indicated up to that point, and they just made that assumption.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm with a straight cis male, and these assumptions he's grown up hearing and knowing, and it affects him as well. People say to me, well, he can't possibly make you happy. You know, when are you going to go find yourself a girlfriend and finish the set? That affects him as well, and it's not fair.
What does that even mean? I don't know what I mean. Like,
well,
why?
You know, because if you're heterosexual and you marry a guy, do you go, well, maybe some people do, but do you, as a rule, when you enter a marriage, doesn't that person make you happy that you don't go look for someone else to make you happy?
I wouldn't marry them if I wasn't happy with them.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, and if I'm not happy with that person, it probably has nothing to do with his sexual behavior. It's because, you know, he's probably an ass, and I'd probably divorce him, you know.
Yeah. And the way I view my being polyamorous is kind of a separate thing from my sexuality. You know, my sexuality defines who I'm attracted to. Being polyamorous just means to me that I'm capable of having very strong, loving feelings for more than a single person at the time. But that's more of an emotional thing than a sexual thing.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's pretty much how I feel, too, is that I think you can love more than one person at the same time. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean sexual, that it can be just as strong and dip just as deep. And that's kind of what polyamorous means to me, too.
I get that. I mean, I'm so overwhelmed with the feelings I have for my boyfriend at the minute that I couldn't imagine loving anyone else. But I think if, you know, if I had those feelings for someone else, I don't think I would get to the stage where I would be comfortable making a decision one way or the other. This is purely hypothetical. But for me at least, that polyamory would be, at that point, would be the better of any other option.
Well, yeah, because I don't really see myself, because that is me, that's how I am, engaging in a threesome, you know. But I know that I can have feelings for more than one person at the same time, you know, very deep feelings. However, for myself, I don't think they would play out in a sexual nature. But that's for me, you know. For other people, they have very, very strong poly relationships, work very well. And you know, and it takes a lot of commitment and maturity to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
something I don't have.
Definitely. I'm a jealous person, and I don't think I could.
Yeah.
That would seriously mess with my head, I think.
Same here. I'm a jealous person myself. I used to say I wasn't a jealous person, but evidently I am.
Well.
Yeah. That's what it was. I said, I'm not jealous at all. I'm not jealous. You know, and then I fell in love.
Well, you know, I think that one of the problems that we have with our label is having the word sexual in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at the Big Four and every other identity and gender is gotten sex out of their labels.
Exactly.
We have a blogger who's actually written that we should have a new word, great, for us, so that we're not sexual doesn't come into it as much as it does with our label today.
Oh yeah, I agree. And you mentioned that before. Yeah, and I totally agree, because they have cute names, we don't. You know, they have gay, they have lesbian, even trans is, you know,
tranny, isn't that
the tranny, you know, the cute names, you know, the sexual part is taken out, you know, the poor intersexuals and asexuals, of course, you know, they don't have cute words yet.
I do think asexual, I don't want to slam anyone's label, but I find it quite ironic that the very label that means lack of sexual attraction has
words.
Yeah. That is kind of silly.
But by definition, the word "a" does mean lack of.
What? Well, I guess
not word you all know it. I don't have to tell you that.
I guess that's a good segue of something I wanted to bring up is, over my life, I've had a number of male roommates. I wasn't sexually attracted to them, but they emotionally fulfilled me, to the point, like I'm saying, like, you know, like, at the end of the day, we'd come home from jobs or, you know, whatever, you know, and then we would talk about our days and, you know, and we'd talk about different things, and they emotionally fulfilled me to the point where I didn't care if I had a girlfriend or not. But again, I was not sexually attracted to them. So, I mean, I don't know what label that is, or anything like that, you know, but I guess I just wanted to bring that out there.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to expand on that, Michael? Would you have minded if they had a girlfriend or a boyfriend?
They actually, there was a point where they did have girlfriends, and I didn't mind, no. It was, it was the way it happened, you know. I guess, you know, it got to a point where there was, I would get angry at times, not jealous, you know, but angry that they would be constantly, their attention was, or they would be gone from the time, you know. And I would be at the house, you know, by myself, you know.
I'd
say that would be like a general friend thing, though, because otherwise, like, could you, I mean, you have that when you have, like, really close friends,
and they get
a romantic partner, and they're spending all their time with them, and you're like, well, wait a second, we were all buddy-buddy, why are you suddenly...
Why is our routine changed now?
Yeah,
we used to meet up, we used to talk,
I
text you at 3 o'clock in the morning, why don't you ask me anymore?
Yeah. And I don't think
it's that... It's that other person. Now I've got a plot to run them over with a car. I mean, you know this, right?
Because I've had relationships with, like that with girlfriends where, you know,
we used to get a long time. I've had that too.
And, but, you know, there was no sexual attraction
there. You wouldn't have even
dreamed. I wouldn't even have thought it, you know.
Absolutely no sexual attraction to my friends, but still, you get jealous when they start spending.
And I guess I understand that, but I guess the point I was bringing up is they emotionally satisfied me, you know, to the point where I was not even caring if I found a mate or not, you know.
And that can happen to me. I mean, it happened to me. We were so involved in our lives together, you know, we had a home together, basically, and I didn't really feel like doing anything to change that.
Right.
You know, I was very comfortable with it.
So is that under any kind of umbrella spectrum label of any?
I would have said that's probably, I would have said that's more friendship though, because it's not a romantic relationship. It's definitely not a sexual relationship. I would have said that's a very deep friendship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, I've had friends in the past that I have referred to as brother and sister because we were that close and I'm an only child. So I've built my own sort of siblings around that from my friends.
Mm-hmm. I have to say that I have to agree with that because I have very long-lasting deep relationships with men and women who I would never dream of even thinking about romantically, because they're like my family. They're like my sisters and brothers.
Sure.
And, you know.
It would be terrible. But it would feel like, it just feels wrong. I'm sat here and I'm cringing at the thought.
Uh-huh. exactly.
Of anything more than a New Year's Eve kiss. And even that would be closed mouth, a peck, walk away.
I'd be more likely to slap him upside the head.
Yeah, but well, where I'm from, it's very much a tradition you kiss on New Year's Eve, so.
We do that still, don't we? Anybody who's kissed lately?
Hi.
Well, Lynette, you didn't stick around for New Year's Eve, so we couldn't kiss.
I know, darling, I know.
I had to kiss this one.
I finally got a New Year's Eve kiss.
You left me with that.
Yeah, Lynette, you left her with me.
Hey, you know, I had a grandbaby to go see. Sorry, guys. Simone and Michael and I all met in a Facebook group called the Hellmouth Empire, which is a podcast for Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch, which Mike is now in charge of. And
not doing it.
You're on hiatus.
It's okay. Now that Lynette can record and edit, we will be doing that.
Oh,
Lynette.
Yeah.
We met several years ago and became very good friends. And recently in October, I actually flew out to Kentucky to meet Mike and Simone because Simone flew in from Australia. And we all spent about a month together and it was really fun. So that's what they're referring to, me leaving them behind.
go meet a grandbaby. I guess that was more important. Whatever.
We've been friends for 2 years. See, now I'm jealous of the grandbaby. Keep doing that. See what you do.
I know. She
is so adorable, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're bisexual. We're so fickle, you know. Yes, and talking about slang, how can we have a really nasty slang? All I could come across from it is Spencer and unicorns. Hello, I like unicorns.
I tried to call you Fakey McBypants, but you'd like.
I liked it. Yes, I did. I made a whole little rant page on that.
Oh, that's you, Lynette. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's me. And Michael is to blame for that one.
Oh, and just in my defense, that was said in irony. I mean, please don't think I was throwing slurs at her.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not
on our side. I mean, I insult Lynette. I have way more to insult Lynette for than her sexuality. I mean, come on.
Yeah, she's got the goods on me.
The way she dresses, the way she cooks. I mean, have you seen her purple hair? Jeez.
So I like purple hair.
What's that about?
Am I sort of outing myself as a tasteless fashion
No, we love Lynette. We like to give her hell.
That's why we hurt
her. All right, so this isn't a Lynette show, so.
Well, you know what? It kind of is, because you made this, you started this, Lynette, so, you know.
Yeah, this is your baby.
Yeah. And we're all in this together, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And everybody's helped a whole bunch. I mean, Will and John and Becca and Ruth Harris have really stepped up the plate, helping everything get set up. And a whole bunch of other people who gave me, you know, some really great advice. And, Alpha Kumar, Kumar, I think it is. Kumar, you know, did a spreadsheet for me, and she's going to take over the entertainment segment here shortly and give me some great ideas. And King David McKenzie is going to be doing our news segment. And there's plenty of people that just have some really awesome ideas.
Well, you should have a rant section, and that's what you should call Buy Furious.
Okay, I'm happy to do that.
You want to do that?
I'll do a rant on anything. Just give me a topic and let me go.
Becca and her Buy Furious.
But you'd have to call it Buy Furious. And I thought of that as soon as I woke up today. I was like, that's my cleverness for like the whole year.
There are lots of people help. Faith, is it Cheltenham and Esther Van Andrews and Binet have been pretty helpful too. Lots of people.
Oh, great.
Lots of people. Then you guys are familiar with Harry Farrell?
Yeah.
Bisexual Batman.
Oh, wow.
Twitter. Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be on, I believe, episode 5. We'll talk about, you know, using the media
for instigating change and getting information.
Ooh, if we're talking about the L word, I want to be on that one, because it's my favorite show ever.
Ever.
Okay, so we've come up with about 4 new episodes in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's so great, I love it. It's fantastic.
Harry's going to be on episode 5, Bios, using social media.
Mm-hmm. That one. And then I believe that Ruth Harris got us Kyle Schickner, who is one that has made the, Finn Sitter Films is, I guess, his company, Arose by Any Other Name, about a bisexual. Yeah. Have you guys seen that?
I've seen a couple of those episodes.
That's one of those things I'm going to have to sit down one weekend when I've got nothing on and just sort of a big bowl of, like, what's it and a couple of pints and just watch it.
I watched the first couple of episodes and I had something else I had to go do, so I put it on a shelf because I wanted to pay attention to it. So I need to get back to watch it. But I really liked it. I mean, the first episode, she has to deal with her lesbian friend's opinions about her dating a guy. And, you know, it's right there.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
I think if I'm thinking of the right one, the thing I like about it is it's very blunt. It is. It's so close to truth, it's not even satire.
Yeah, exactly. No, and you can watch it on YouTube if anybody wants to.
Can you repeat the title, please?
A Rose by Any Other Name.
I will give that
a go.
YouTube has got some pretty interesting videos concerning bisexuality and biphobia.
Biphobia sounds like a super villain.
It is, kind of, isn't it?
Biphobia.
I'm going to invite my friend Evelyn to your bicast page, Lynette. I mean, she's a lesbian, but I think she'd get a kick out of this.
You could actually invite her to the bicast page, and then if she wants to join the group, which is secret,
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Okay, so in the future we're going to talk about the things we've talked about, the news concerning our world and the LGBT world, or the GGG world.
The alphabet soup world.
The alphabet soup world, yes. You know, arts and entertainment, as I mentioned, you know, artists and their work. We'll try to feature a spotlight activist on whatever subject we're having, you know, we're discussing that's relative to that. And we want to talk about how we as individuals can build our community and come together and voice our concerns. And also a really important segment we're going to come to do is finding support, both online at a local level, because you know how it feels when you think you're all by yourself and you don't have the answers, and it's pretty dang scary. So, you know, if you're beginning to question your sexuality or really come to terms with it, finding support is invaluable. And for those who have been out for quite a while, it's a great place to share your knowledge and build friendships. So by joining the groups, finding your local queer center, we have a Q center actually, that does a lot of community activities, and I happen to come across a bisexual discussion group that meets every second Tuesday, and that's run by Cameron Kood, and get involved with that. I mean, you know, talk to other bisexuals, online or offline, you know, build yourself your own new family. Very important.
We need to set up a thing, and we need to call it that. That needs to either be the tagline or the title of that. Build yourself your own new family. That is beautiful, Annette.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like, you know, when people come on to investigate their local area and, you know, share that information with us so we can put it on the air and also on the pages. I think that would be great. So, like in Portland, like I said, Cameron Kood is in charge of the bisexual discussion group on Tuesdays. Every third Tuesday of the month, and on every second Tuesday of the month, he has actually a bi bar where you can go just socialize with other bisexuals. And I hear it's a lot of fun. I don't do that anymore, but I hear it's really good. And he has some other activities you can get involved with. He's doing that propaganda protest. We have a sign down in our Pioneer Courthouse Square that, you know, one of those fence posts that has, you know, Norway, 10,000 miles, London, one of those where everything's pointing all over the place, and they put up a Sochi sign. So now everybody's going underneath it with their rainbow flags and everything like that, taking pictures. It's really kind of cool. It's kind of fun. He's also decided to start a kind of like an advice column called the Bi Brigade, where people can write into him on the Q Center page, and we as a group will try to give them the best and soundest advice and answer that we can. So I think that is an excellent idea. If you get involved somewhere in your local area, you know, and you have a lot of experience and you have things to offer, you know, doing things like that really helps. It makes people feel not so alone anymore. And please join some of the groups. I mean, some groups are closed groups, some are secret groups, and some are open, like Dinette. Pretty much anybody can go on there, right?
Yeah, Binet is open.
Yeah, and from there you can actually start finding other places, and you know, and you can have privacy protected and all of those things. But you get in these groups and you start talking to the people, and you find out that you share so many of the same experiences. It makes it so much easier.
And of course, don't forget to mention the podcast group.
The podcast, yes. Tell them we sent you.
I'll say that, you know, Binet still has the Yahoo group, and it's not nearly as active as it used to be, but it's still there. So if people aren't on Facebook, and not everybody is, that's another place to go.
Right, and I think Binet has a webpage too, right? I mean, I'm sure it does. I mean, I think I've been there even, but...
Yeah, I think Binet...
You know, I'm kind of a...
There's also, if you ever find that getting by in a gay straight world, that little pamphlet... If you not any bi area or any LGBT area, they'll have that pamphlet. It's very good.
Oh, yeah. So
it was one of the few things I found when I was first coming out, and just having that one little pamphlet really did make all the difference for me.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Yeah. Okay, so anybody have any... I think it's Binet USA. I want to get that correct. Binet USA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Good starting point. We will be posting when we're going to record, so if you want to join in on the feedback for the topic or whatever is going on beforehand, we will be reading that at the end of each session. If you want to remain anonymous, please say anonymous. And we will say this is from Anonymous or from Joe Smith or John Black or something very anonymous. I want everyone to be able to join, but I don't want people to feel... they're going to get outed by mistake or on purpose. We want to protect your what is the word, girls?
Anonymity.
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 Yeah. So please, you know, put your feedback on the Facebook group or at thebicast@gmail.com. And those are the two places we'll be collecting them to keep things simple. And so not on the website itself. just those two places, the Facebook group or the bycast at gmail.com. In further notice, we may be able to get some iPhone use where you can actually call in and record a message if you like. And I'm open to people actually sending me an MP3 or an audio file for you to read if they want. Okay?
Yeah, a lot of podcasts I listen to, they actually have them record on their phone just to send it in, so that would probably...
Yeah.
And I think there's free voicemail lines you can sign up for, too, stuff like that.
Okay.
We could set up to run concurrent with this. We could set up some... There's got to be something somewhere where we could set up a real-time chat as it's going on so people can interact with it.
Well, and I think you can do that in the Google Hangout thing, right?
You can do it in a Google Hangout. I'm not sure how you can do it with Skype.
I don't either. We'll have to investigate that, because that would be great if people could actually just give us feedback as it's going on, because that's really what I want this to be about, is all of us as a community, you know, working together, giving their feedback, saying what they need to say, ranting, or telling us how happy you are, you know, good things, bad things.
Yeah, the cast might not sound as clean if we do it live, but I think because we won't have the editing, but I think it's a good trade-off to be able to get real-time feedback from the community while we're doing the show I think it's worth giving up the ability of cutting out all our awkward pauses and nervous twittering in order to get that real-time feedback.
Yeah, because I think if we've got the real-time feedback, we're not going to have that many awkward pauses and awkward twittering, because there's always going to be something to say.
I think so. I totally agree with that. And I think that when you're having an actual conversation with other people, the understanding is you're going to have a pause or a glitch or something. You don't really worry too much about it, as opposed to actually recording something. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, let's see. Anything else you'd like to talk about right now? I'm going to wrap this up.
I think so.
Right.
I think we're
so,
all good.
So, John. Yeah, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you are.
I'm still
loud and clear.
Yeah.
John, I really appreciate being here today. Is there any project that you're working on, place we can find you, anything you'd like to endorse?
Well, Center by DC is really... my home these days in terms of the bi work we do in the DC community. And mostly what we're doing right now are brunches and dinners and happy hours. But this year we want to have a bi presence in the DC Pride Parade and build for that. And we're getting a lot of support from Center DC, and it really makes it much easier to be able to organize when you have a sponsor like that with a space and funds. In May, we're doing a happy hour fundraiser for our work, specifically being organized by the Center DC. I'll put more up on that when we get it.
Yeah, when we actually post the recording of the podcast, we'll give all the links and information. We'll post those along with it. So make sure you either send me that information or, you know, post it yourself when it actually comes up.
And yeah.
I'm talking about John is very active in a local, physical way in getting things done. That's one of the things we can do. And as individuals, you know, I can't write. I'm not really, really good at public speaking, but, you know, I can break out my keyboard and do a lot of commenting. And, you know, John is doing a lot of, you know, on hands. Yeah. Works.
Yeah.
In the community. Those are the things we can do. Ooh,
I think we all have different skills and we need to play to our strengths.
Exactly. So, Becca, what are you up to? What can you tell us about your project?
I'm a student, so I don't get up to much, and most of my stuff's online, but I did set up a group for what we're calling at the moment heterosexual presenting relationships involving bisexuals, although that name is still up for debate and it's ongoing. Which is basically what happened was my boyfriend had a day when he was feeling a little insecure, was worrying about, you know, being so far away and the close proximity I have to other women just in day-to-day life, and he was thinking, you know, one day he was wondering one day, is he going to not be enough for me? Is he, you know, he was worrying that my sexuality might mean I'd leave him for a woman, basically. And I thought, and this had happened a few times, and I thought, we can't be the only couple going through this. So
and
I started looking for support, and there was none. Quite frankly, there was none.
I'd make your own. Build your own family.
I made my own. I set up a Facebook group, and it took off pretty quickly. It's plateaued a little now, but it's still going. And we are a closed group, so it doesn't show up on anyone's Facebook timeline or anything. Although you can apply to ask. What I will do is I will send Lynette the link so she can put it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, all welcome. And it's nice because we're a support group. We talk about all different things. My boyfriend and one other fella in there got talking about the Dresden Files. And they had a big, long conversation.
Nice.
That was quite
nice. Nice.
Yeah, we're just a nice little community. We talk, we get on. And it works. And we've posted rants, we've had in-depth discussions. Really, nothing is taboo. And although we do say what happens in the group stays in the group. It's helpful in that way.
No, it's pretty awesome. I mean, you know. And sometimes it's not even about what the group is called. It's about the people you meet. And
yeah.
I know for a fact that, you know, I am a kind of a Facebook addict, but I have met some of the best friends I've ever had in my life on Facebook. I don't care what anybody says about them. Anybody being fake on Facebook, baloney, shmaloney, you can find that support out there.
Amen, I agree.
Some of my best friends on Facebook are fake profiles. They've told me outright, they've said, this is not my real name, this is not me, but this is the real me.
Right, right.
So, if that makes any sense at all, you know.
Well, some people do that because they are so frightened of being outed, but some people just do it because, you know, they're trolling, which is a whole other subject, and we'll get into it another time.
Yeah, I'll be here for another 2 hours.
Yeah. And Will, what about you? What are you up to? Anything exciting?
Well, I don't have any current projects that are relevant that I'm actively involved in, so I thought I'd just take the opportunity here, since you mentioned getting involved in your local community, to plug the LGBT Center of Raleigh. They've got a lot of good programs there and a fairly strong community, so that's what I'm going to use my slot here to promote.
Awesome. That's exactly what I wanted. That's perfect. Yeah, I mean, we need to promote that, all those support groups. So, yeah. And Mike and Simone, you don't have anything that you're doing in the LGBT community yourself, either, besides Simone going to Gay Pride.
Yeah, just Fair Day. That's all.
Just Fair Day, which is pretty cool. Yeah. That's
it
supportive.
Is. I've gone a few years. It's a great day out.
I wish ours was a fair day. It's more like a corporate sponsorship day now.
Yeah, I know. It is. And my sister and her partner don't even go anymore. They said it's just like, it's not what it was, you know.
Here they're very much about families and being together and having a good day and not letting all the bad stuff get in. It's just a great day of music and being with like-minded people. It's really fun and awesome.
Yeah. Well, ours is on the National Mall now, basically, so that tells you what it is.
Yeah.
It used to be in DuPont, and back then it was really a smaller affair and not big corporate sponsorships and millions of dollars. And it was better in those days.
I wish you the best of luck with the gay presence. I mean, the bisexual presence in the parade.
Yeah,
I really, really do.
I'm hoping we can get people from out of town. You know, because people do come in for it, and you know, I'm kind of pushing us to really do an event on Pride Week. I think it's really important that, you know, even if it's 20 people, it's still important to do because people are coming in. And they should have something bisexual to go to at Pride Week.
Yes, that's Absolutely.
You know what? You've made me realize something. Instead of getting distracted by the bears at Fair Day, I'm going to see if there's like a specific tent for the bisexual community, because I'd be curious. I mean, I haven't really paid attention the last few. Like I said, the bears are very distracting in the leather. I'm going to make sure the bisexuals are being represented this year.
We'll be represented at the Center DC tent. So we'll have a place where we can have pamphlets and literature and talk to people at Pride. But yeah, I mean, we used to do our own tables, and you know, it got more and more expensive to do ourselves, and it wasn't very useful to do our own table, you know.
Right. Well, make sure you take pictures and post them for us. That'd be great to
okay.
see. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we'll have photographers there, I'm sure.
Okay.
And I always take pictures.
That's a good girl.
I have albums on Facebook from the last bunch.
So. Yeah. So, Simone, you're not doing, besides what we just talked about, what are you up to?
Actually, you mean my TV podcast? I guess I'm a newbie on a Fringe intro cast. There are three of us that have never seen it and are watching it for the first time, and our fearless leader, Aisha, who has seen it all before, and we watch an episode of Fringe every week this coming Sunday. Right after, like the next morning after Fair Day, I'll be recording for the Fringe Season 3 finale, if anyone is into, like, their hardcore sci-fi TV shows. We're a little bit crazy, but we're fun. And Fringe is a show. It's also cool. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and what have you on the internet.
All right, awesome.
Tumblr frightens me. I don't like going there after dark.
I set up a Tumblr account, and like within a week I was like, I can't deal with this at all, so I don't even visit it anymore. I'm like, oh, you're too much, just too much.
Well, I mean, some of the stuff that I had no idea either, and I came back to it in about a week, and I'm going like, what you wrote that for real? Yeah, I don't go there much either. And Michael, you have anything you want to endorse or promote?
Well, I am currently a mass vigilante fighting crime in Gotham City. that's Batman. Like you said before, there is the Hellmouth group on Facebook. It's been down here lately because I haven't got off my ass and done anything. But if you're a Buffy Angel fan, you know, come join us. Lots of talk, lots of great open-minded people. Just a fun place to be, and that should be getting up sometime in the future.
It works for this as well, because they have gay characters on Buffy, so
absolutely.
Which I've almost decided that Willow is not actually a lesbian, but she's bisexual.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that over the years, that she's not gay, she's bisexual, and I tend to agree.
Well, that's a discussion meant for the Hellmouth.
Yeah, that is a long one.
Yeah.
Hey, Lynette, episode idea? Bring your fandom and bring your closeted bisexual characters, and we will discuss.
Yeah, yes. There should be an episode dedicated to, the LGBT community in TV shows and stuff like that, because there's Queer as Folk, the L Word, Buffy, and quite a few others.
Well, right now, the law school.
I'm sorry, John?
Yeah, I would say right now, the lost girl. I mean, Bo is definitely bisexual.
Oh, sure, yeah, lost girl as well. I mean, she likes her some sexy blonde doctor.
Right, we should
And a werewolf.
Yeah, you should dedicate a show to talk about that.
She's a little bit polyamorous, isn't she, that girl? Good for her.
Well, I don't know. You have to be caught up. I think that she's made a choice.
Yeah. Oh, she has? Because I have only seen season one, but I bought seasons two and three recently, so I need to, like, marathon them fuck, Adam, seasons 2 and 3 get caught up, but I know that she enters into a relationship with Blondie, which I am
Spoilers!
No, it's obvious from literally the pilot. I promise you. In the pilot, it's all there, and you're just waiting for it to happen.
Mm-hmm. And then I think also as well, as we're going to talk about canon characters who are LGBT, we have to involve the fandoms as well. Because if you've been on Tumblr, you know that there's no such thing as a character who's not LGBT.
Oh my god, you can't even go, not even get into Supernatural.
And all that sort of stuff.
I know a guest that writes, I think that's all she does is write fan fiction about Castiel and Dean, I guess.
Oh my god. You have to get Kelly on here to discuss the love that is Cass and Dean.
Cass and Dean, yeah, I'll sign up for that one too.
I'll talk her into coming on whenever.
All right, do it. Because she will, she's right there with that.
She's a little scary, actually, to be quite honest. I'm just saying, that's all she does.
Yeah, but fangirls in ship wars, you don't get in the middle of that.
No.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't even dream of it.
All right, guys, I think we're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
Every one of you for being here today, this is great. I hope we can continue to do this and have just as much fun as we have had. You can find us at www.facebook.com groups the Bicast. We also are on bicastwordpress.com. You can reach us at thebicast@gmail.com. And there is a Bicast Twitter. Probably that's more like a train station. I don't really do any posting on there. Okay. It's more, you know, I have people I follow and their stuff gets put on there. So if you want to contact us, there's your options.
But we could also use Twitter as a live feed as we're going out.
Yeah, it is. And that might be something we want to talk about, you know, pulling that up while, you know, if we can get this to live. All right. Thank you all for coming today. Remember, all of you out there, you are not greedy, untrustworthy, perverted, wishy-washy, confused, attention-seeking, or a liar. You're not wrong. You are not broken. You are just who you are, a human being, and a bisexual.
Amen.
Bye.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Unicorns, I love them. 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 Unicorns, I love them.
I would like to take a moment to acknowledge the people who helped bring this podcast to life. Many thanks to our crew, John, Will, and Becca, for jumping in both during the broadcast and with the group, and you too, Ruth Harris. Awesome job. Big thanks to Michael and Simone for graciously sitting in with our first episode. On the technical side, thank you Bob, Scott, Sam Miller, and Amy Bigmore for helping me navigate the recording, editing, and setup process. Special thanks for Amy who created and donated our new logo. And again, thank you to Binance USA's Faith and Estrogen, as well as all the people who gave us excellent ideas and feedback, and of course to our bisexual activists who are a source of inspiration. And a special warm hug for Jennifer, who by inviting me into her circle opened the floodgates for so much. Thank you all for being so awesome and for listening. Everyone gets a cookie.
You don't understand all those curls and the curves in this world. You go down, but you come back around. You like boys, but you don't understand all their toys. Well, they get so out of hand. You go down, but you come back around. Uh-oh, uh-oh. Which way do you go? You want love like an arrow to shoot from above. It's going straight to the blood. You go down, but then you come back around. You want sex, but you don't understand what comes next. Well, is it Tina or Rexy?